pushed it through. That was his message. And there were those who did not understand really what God was doing at the time, and they thought that we were just singing little children songs. Those are cute little songs y'all singing. But no, he understood what was really going on, how that it requires Judah to plow if you're going to sow seed. And he plowed, and he kept right on plowing. And when we were tired of plowing, he kept right on plowing anyway. We wanted to do the huckabuck, and he said, no, we're going to lift our hands. How many of you know what the Pentecostal huckabuck is? We wanted to do the huckabuck, and he, no, we're going to lift our hands. We're going to learn how to flow together in this. This is not anybody's sideshow. This is the body learning to flow together. We're going to be fluid in this. And he stayed right on track. He kept right on preaching it. And he said, and he preached it some more. He preached it down here. Went to Roanoke, Virginia, preached it there. They caught the spirit of it and just about flew by every one of us. I'm just giving you a little bit of the history because I'm going someplace with this. I'll conclude this in a moment. But listen carefully. There really is no comparison. Not any of us. Touch yourself and say, I'm a unique expression of God. There will never be another like me on planet Earth. That's how special you really are. I mean, really, that's how special you are. Therefore, no comparisons. You know, as I just look at the journey, and where we are in the journey today, considering how are we going to be effective in year 2017. We're here. We're living epistles written by the Holy Spirit, not the pen of some man. And we're still telling the God story. How are we framing it? How are we presenting it? They did a wonderful job the first 100 years. People have been trying to retreat back to that spot. You can't ever go back there. Here we are. What are we telling creation? Really, what's the message that they're giving through the letter that we are? These are important questions. And they're questions that I'm considering deeply. And so I had to go back to the rock that we were hewn out of. That's Abraham. I looked at the three dynamics that God called him from. And what is our progress today? And I got to tell you, we need improvement. Now, most of us don't have a problem really that God has called us from this earthly dimension to the heavenly dimension, but to walk in earth. As the writer of the Hebrews says, we're living out of a heavenly country. As Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven from whence we look right now. We can accept that. Am I right? Come on, we don't have a problem with that. We see that we came from something carnal to something spiritual. Everybody tracking with me? Because I want to make sure this is simple, this is plain. All right? We don't have a problem leaving the extended family. There are a number of reasons we don't have a problem with that. Because he said, leave your kindred, but he's going to give you a higher level of kin people. The way you realize your family are they that do the will of God. And it doesn't matter where you find them. But here's where the real struggle is, particularly in most of the industrialized world. We have not left our ethnicity yet. Yeah, we still have a problem. You say, now, you know, there are preferences, Steve, and, you know, and I prefer to be around people that's the same color as I am. Because we got, you know, some things that are culturally alike, and it's easier just to hang together. And because I preach to people everywhere, I preach to Japanese, I preach to Malaysians, I preach to Europeans, I preach to South Americans, I preach to people in the islands of the sea, and I preach to Africans, and quite a bit in North America. You know what my message is? One and the same. It doesn't matter what your preference is, if it's not what God is desiring to manifest in the earth. I've gone places where they said, you're not black enough. I said, well, that's pretty clear. I'm brown and red mix. And I've gone places where they were absolutely shocked that God had revealed what he had revealed to a man of color, but they said, you're not white enough. And I recognize at that point, if the judgment of who I am is going to be based upon what they think, I'm probably going to sell my God out. And so when you come to this third one, which is probably the most challenging one, and that is to break the spirit of racism and prejudice on the basis of pigmentation. Yeah, I've had a chance to live this. And I went to Southwest Florida. I had to get caught up in the God world real fast. Because there weren't but three other people who looked like me. But he had sent me there as a voice to all who would receive. And I realized that this is still a challenge in the church. It's called leave your father's house. Now, in the natural, you know, most of us, whenever a son or daughter leaves the house, when Natalie first left, boy, I boo-hooed like I don't know what. I mean, man, I cried. We got to the university, and it was time to go. She came and she laid her head on my chest, and I said, oh, God, help me, Jesus. I'm supposed to be daddy strong here, encouraging her, telling her she can do this. You know, it's a new experience, baby. Don't worry about it, but you'll be okay. She lays her head on my chest. She starts boo-hooing, and I start boo-hooing, and Ann is just standing to the side looking at both of us. You know, it's something about, you know, daddy and his girl. How many of you brothers know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When Stevie went away, he said, Pop, I need this, I need this, and I need this. And then when we were finished, you know, I was going to hang around for a minute just in case he needed to lay his head on my shoulder. And after he, you know, received all that he needed from his mother and I, and he said, I'll see y'all later. And Ann and I looked at each other. I said, do you see what he just did? He put us out. So we collected ourselves, got in the car, and drove back home.